The ship has been set to sea. The entire NFL schedule is complete with week one, the Kansas City Chiefs at 1-0. But now the AFC Championship Game reunion tour continues because the Chiefs will take on the Cincinnati Bengals in week two. And this week's Defending the Kingdom brought to you as always by your new best friends at Ticketmaster. Whether it's a home game at GEHA Field, at Arrowhead Stadium, or on the road, Ticketmaster is your place to go. This week, it's flooring and ceilings as we approach week two on Defending the Kingdom.
Bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy!
Hi, everybody. I'm Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, along with senior team reporter Matt McMullen. Yes, we are underway. A 27-20 win by a toenail over the Baltimore Ravens, the team that the Chiefs played in the 23 AFC Championship game. But now let's go to the 22 and 21 AFC Championship games and bring in the Cincinnati Bengals. But off and running, and as I mentioned, Ted Lasso's writers couldn't write the script even in week one.
What a way to kick off the NFL season. Just glad that we were on the right side of it. Just a crazy roller coaster kind of game. Heavyweight fight, really, between two of the best teams in the NFL. But what a win for the Chiefs. We talked all summer about the history this team could make in 2024. And we were saying, man, what a great way to start if we can beat the Ravens on opening night. And what do you know? Got away with the victory.
Well, thank you to all of the NBC Sunday night cameras that were there. There'd be like 200 or so, because it looked like camera, 79 caught the incriminating evidence that gave the Chiefs that victory. So thank you. And as I mentioned during the play-by-play, Sean Hockley, as he made the announcement, I've never loved you more.
Well, the best part of that, too, from my vantage point, a lot of fans that were there might have seen this. Patrick Mahomes got the news a little early before Hockley went out there and announced it, and he's running across the field like a 12-year-old, just jumping up and down. His hands are in the air. And it was one of those things where I knew he was out, but it's so close, I was worried the refs wouldn't overturn it.
Yeah.
So I was just sitting there anxious, and I see Patrick running across the field. I'm like, man, we won. And then he announced it. Crowd went crazy. It was awesome.
Now it's on to week two, and here come the Cincinnati Bengals. But before we do that, it's a Defending the Kingdom tradition. We jump into our time machine, our space capsule, and we go around the world.
Let's do it. Just three today. Three quick ones.
Oh, nice.
So I met Harrison at the Royals game the other night. I went to the game on Saturday where they came back in the eighth inning. It was awesome. Crowd was electric. I met Harrison after the game, so shout out to you, Harrison. I met Carrie outside the stadium gates for the Chiefs game on Thursday. I was walking from the pavilion at the world's largest tailgate into the stadium, ran into Carrie, so shout out to Carrie. And also shout out to the entire city of Branson. So I was in Branson a couple Saturdays ago for like a Chiefs Kingdom rally, getting everyone fired up for the game. Branson is the official tourism destination for the Kansas City Chiefs, the Branson Lakes area, a vacation destination. I went down there for a rally. Rumble was down there. Cheer was down there. Casey Wolf was down there. Our good friend Sean Barber was down there. It was a lot of fun. The crowd was awesome. I'd never been there before. You ever been to Branson?
A bajillion times.
I'd never been.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, in Silver Dollar City and Table Rock and, I mean, all that. So, it's wonderful. Great place to go.
Yeah. It was very cool to see all the red down there because it's further away than I thought. It's near the Arkansas border. It's like 3.5 hours away on a bus.
Yeah, right there.
Like, it's a ways.
My favorite place is Top of the Rock. So, when you take Ellie back, Top of the Rock, it's this gorgeous setting closer to the Arkansas border, kind of the southern end of Branson. But there's a huge sinkhole here, there that they made into like a tourist attraction. Branson's the only place where you could take a sinkhole and make it into a tourist attraction. But incredible golf courses there, just a beautiful setting. They do a sundown celebration there that's really awesome.
Yeah,
a must-do in the Cheese Kingdom.
It's very cool.
Top of the Rock there. Gave him the endorsement. I'll just add one. And three, by the way, is great because Jan Stenerud, right? We have so many retired numbers, but Jan Stenerud, number three. No Chief wears number three anymore, but he was the guy to do it. Kicked three field goals in Super Bowl IV.
Changed the game forever, too.
Forever.
Back then, it was okay to make like 40% of your field goals. And then Jan's like, how about we make like 75 or better? And everyone, their brains exploded.
And much like Butker did last year against the Ravens, I'll kick one and go a two-possession lead that will devastate the Vikings and put them in a panic mode where they shouldn't have been in panic mode. This episode of Defending the Kingdom is dealing with flooring and ceilings. Now, full indulgence here. Matt has been my therapist through this. We had water damage in the house while I was at training camp. This is a horror show. And water damage on three floors. I'm glad I wasn't in Washington, D.C. I just come back from the Cans of the Year thing, or we would have, I didn't even have a home, probably. So it has been a mess, literally, for the last, how many, 2 months.
And these things only happen around training camp.
And only when I'm gone. My wife's a saint, as is yours.
Yeah.
They're both saints.
Puts right? up with a lot.
Oh, yeah. Proverbs 31. Look it up. That's defining your wife and my wife. She's had the heavy lift on this. But, oh, yeah, when your flooring is, like, totally soaked and you've got to figure out, are we going to, like, to tear down the house or what are we going to do? You start to think about flooring, and then you think about ceilings, because we had to repair and a lot of replacing of some ceiling, especially in the great room ceiling. All right, there you go. That's it. But it made me think of the 2024 Kansas City Chiefs week one to week two, which I talked about with Coach Reed on the Chiefs Kingdom show, and I talked about it with Patrick Mahomes, by the way. You decided these jerseys, I didn't, or you should have probably been wearing the Mahomes jersey. Anyway,
absolutely not.
The point here is things that were impressed us about this Chiefs team in week one, that's the flooring here, because you have to have a place to stop. You got to put your – or start, I should say, put your feet on the ground. But then the ceiling, where could this team go from here, starting with week two against the Bengals? So I'll let you start. And let's start on offensively. What did you love about the Ravens game? And let's start right there.
Well, first, now I'm imagining you watching all this water falling through. And then you're watching it with Tammy, and you look at Tammy and you say, you know what this reminds me of? The 2024 Kansas City Chiefs. She'd be like, Mitch, we need to focus on this right now.
As water's pouring through the fixtures coming down. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's going to get figured out.
Thanks, brother.
But to answer your question, the thing I'm most excited about that we saw in the Ravens game is the explosive element is clearly back, and they didn't waste any time showing us that it was back. Xavier Worthy was a big part of that. We'll talk to Xavier a little bit later in our show today. But how about that end around, that 21-yard run where it looks like everyone else is moving in slow motion? That was awesome. But the deep play, the 35-yard touchdown pass down the sideline on the busted coverage, has me the most excited, because it seems very cut and dry when you watch the tape. He's wide open, just hit him for a touchdown. But over the last couple of years, we haven't had a lot of those. And the Ravens defense, which is really, really good, had one breakdown in communication, and the Chiefs made them pay for it like that. And that's a big deal, because it's so hard playing the Chiefs already. And if you just have one breakdown, one miscommunication, one busted coverage, and Xavier Worthy is 20 yards downfield, you know it's 7 points. So I'm really excited about that explosive element. We haven't had a lot of that in the last couple years, and in week one, we already have two explosive plays by the Chiefs.
I'll agree with you, and I'll take it a little bit further. 6 20-plus plays in this game, to your credit, from 5 different guys. And that's when Andy Reid is doing it the best. And Worthy, and it's going to be great to talk to Xavier here in just a little bit, but his 2 plays, but then you look at other guys that had some big plays in the game, including Noah Gray, and I'll get to him when I get to the upside, but to have different guys contribute. The other thing I was excited about was to see Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, like, headhunting dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. On Creed's taking the guy, it was Kyle Hamilton, on the end around. He takes him off the screen. If you go back and watch the All-22, where's Kyle Hamilton? He's gone. He takes him all the way off the screen on a couple different plays, and Trey was doing the same thing. So when you get – we don't think of offensive linemen being explosive, but this team has explosive offensive linemen on those perimeter-type plays, and that really got me fired up.
And they're so athletic. On that end around, Kingsley was out there way downfield. Saw Trey Smith, like you said, Creed, Joe Tooney. I mean, to have all those guys downfield like that, it shows preparation as well. Yeah, Xavier made that play with his speed, but what a scheme. And that doesn't happen unless you're working on that every day in training camp. And we'll talk about preparation later in the show, but I think we saw the Chiefs' preparation, all the hard work in St. Joe, really pay off on that play, because everyone knew their assignment. Everyone knew where they were supposed to go. That was really the ultimate team play, in my opinion. And Xavier gets the credit, deservingly so. He was awesome on that play, but it doesn't work if not every single man on the offense knew their exact assignment and if they didn't execute it. So just really exciting stuff from the Chiefs offense. We talked all summer about how we thought it would be exponentially better here this season, and what a way to start in week one against a very good Baltimore Ravens defense, number one scoring defense in the NFL last year. And the Chiefs, there's room to grow. We can talk about that too, but they were really explosive in some major areas.
Yeah, there's such a high ceiling to it. And again, that'll be in the later part of our Defending the Kingdom. Defensively, and I'll start here, what I loved, the Ravens were 0-for-2 in goal-to-go situations. Goal-to-go, 0-for-2. Unheard of in the National Football League in many cases. And then 1-for-4 in the red zone. This is a defensive team. The Chiefs had – the Ravens got penetrations to the 7, the 14, and the 10 and got 6 points. That's big time.
Wow.
So you look at sometimes total defense, we get engrossed in it. But this is a defense that last year, remember, they were so hard to score upon. And even though they gave up 20 in this game and the 49.5-yarder to Likely, the fact that they dug their heels in, especially when it got to red zone and goal to go, fired me up.
And a big part of that was the pass rush. The pass rush was excellent, I think, on Thursday. George Karlaftis was great. He had 6 pressures. Chris Jones had 6 pressures. If it was any other quarterback back there besides Lamar Jackson, I think we would have had 4 or 5 sacks against the Ravens. Now, Lamar is one of the most athletic, dynamic players at quarterback in NFL history. Very hard to sack Lamar Jackson. They got him once on that strip sack. But I think if it was any other quarterback back there, the pass rush would have gotten to them for sacks. Regardless, he was pressured throughout the game. He scrambled a ton, and I don't think he always wanted to scramble. Also, his average depth of target wasn't very far at all. I mean, until the very end when the Chiefs were playing that softer coverage in the fourth quarter, he was targeting just tight ends and running backs almost the entire game. Zay Flowers, even when he was catching the ball, it was on quick wide receiver screens. So they couldn't really open up their offense at all. And I think part of that was due to the pass rush. And then also bottling up Derrick Henry. And that was the key in my mind. We have to make them one-dimensional, have to make Lamar win the game. And Derrick Henry really didn't do much of anything. I mean, I don't know what the game plan was going in, but they clearly had to abandon using Derrick Henry on a routine basis as the game went on. So a lot of good things from this defense. Want a fun stat about the defense?
Sure.
So they have held opponents under 28 total points in 22 consecutive games now, including the playoffs. That's the longest streak since the Washington Commanders held opponents under 28 points for 23 straight games between 2008 and 2009. So pretty amazing.
Yeah, when they were called something else. That tells you how long ago it was. But it's just the things that we take for granted for this defense. Special teams, you have a thought there? What'd you like?
Yeah, so I think they played pretty clean. How about Matt Araiza, that punt at the very end of the game that set up Baltimore's long drive, 48 yards to the 13. Great play by Nazi Johnson as well to tackle the return man. That was a big play because it forced Lamar and the Ravens to go the length of the field in 2 minutes. If he shanks that punt, maybe they have only 50 yards to go. That was a really, really big punt. And overall, the kickoff game, there was no major issues, which was a good thing. I mean, it was new for all of us. We were going to see this in a regular season game. I am curious to see how we attack teams week to week to see if we force teams to return the kickoff because it was all touchbacks on our side, but no major issues there, which was a positive.
Yeah, I think overall the league had more touchbacks than they wanted in week one.
Yeah.
Because that seemed to be prevalent, but that's what the Chiefs decided to do, and you're right. Interesting to see what they'll do against the Bengals. So what about the upside? There's the flooring. We got the flooring down. We're off to a start. What about the ceiling? But before we get into the ceiling, let's talk about the guy. Well, we had a chance to bring in Xavier Worthy, and what an opening game for the rookie first-round pick from the University of Texas. What an opening game, and what a start to a career. Xavier Worthy with us, 2 touchdowns in the victory against the Baltimore Ravens. So now a couple days after that, way to simmer on it. What are your thoughts after that game, getting ready for week two?
Man, it was a great game just to be able to have that feeling in my season opener. But I'm just on to the next. I'm ready for the next. I feel like that was just a taste of what I'm going to be doing this season.
But your first touch, you end up in the end zone. Walk us through that play. What was it like being in the huddle knowing you were going to get the football and then to finish your first ever touch in the NFL with a touchdown? How'd that feel?
I kind of knew I was getting the ball before Pat called the play because he looked at me before he got all the way in. So I'm like, okay, this got to be coming to me. He was like, it's in the round. Come on, go. You got to get in. And just hearing that call and just seeing everybody going out there and giving the effort they did, that everybody had amazing blocks in that play. So just having the teammates like that is just huge.
This, at training camp, we had a discussion, you and I, and it was really impressive because you brought up DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
You brought up Tyreek Hill and what Coach did for those guys in their career. Tell us a little bit about that and what you think Coach can do for you in your career.
Yeah, a guy like DeSean Jackson, for example, is probably more like kind of like my comparison. He was about 168, 167, same size as me. And the way Coach kind of schemed up things for him, it just kind of shows, like, he knows how to use players like me. So just having something like that is amazing for a guy like me, being small. But we're also able to run routes, physical at times, and just be able to make plays.
You told us after you got drafted that you knew you were destined to be a Chief for years now. To have that culminate in a game like you had on Thursday where the crowd's going crazy, you have three touches and two of them are touchdowns. Just what was that experience like to know that you wanted to be a Chief, you watched the Chiefs on TV, and now you're making those big plays for the Chiefs?
Man, that's a crazy feeling, just to be able to have that. I told everybody before I even thought about getting drafted, I said I'm going to play for the Chiefs. So it was like just to be able to, like, I'm the only one that said I was going to play for a team, and I'm playing on the team I said. So that's just a crazy thing. And then making plays for the team you said you're going to play for, I mean, you just can't think of that.
You just brought up something that's interesting. Week one to week two, this incredible debut, but to do it again and to be ready for the Bengals, what about your mindset of getting ready to try to crank it up again?
Right. I feel like that just comes with your preparation. I feel like whatever you're going to do on game day, whether that's Thursday, Sunday, is what you do during the week. I feel like your preparation is what makes you play good in the game. If you have not good preparation, you're not going to play good. So just having that preparation I had last week was going to lead me to that success.
You growing up in Fresno, though, I call you Fresno Tough.
Yeah.
And you didn't miss a game at UT. What about growing up in Fresno and just learning the love to play football and the toughness that you have?
Man, I feel like that just comes with a chip on my shoulder. I was always told that I was too small, or you're too small to play in college, you're too small to play in the league, and I have that chip on my shoulder just to prove everybody wrong and show that people like my size and my stature could do it, no matter where you're from, too, as well. People from Fresno really typically don't make it out of Fresno. So it's just amazing just to be able to do that and show out for my city.
Late in the game, were you surprised when you see the corner playing cover two and there's no safety over the top? And it's like, so I just have to run by him and then it'll be a touchdown? Like, were you surprised at that?
I really thought I was tripping. I'm like, oh, it's no safety? Oh, okay. So he pushed me. I'm like, he's not going to come with me. So I'm like, oh, Pat has to throw this. I see the ball. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a touchdown. I took off running two steps. I was like, okay, I thought he was chasing me. But it was amazing.
Is the ball in the air for like 30 minutes when you're that wide open?
That was one of the ones you just got to, like, let me secure this and just walk in.
So we talk about ceilings here. Oh, my goodness. How excited is the Chiefs Kingdom with that? And there's more. I think we're getting more than we thought we're going to get from Xavier Worthy. We knew about the 4-2-1 speed in the combine, but one is football acumen. Two, he's tough. Never missed a game at Texas. Fresno, California, tough. There's just something to him that there's more to him than just a guy that's going to run fast. Because there's a whole list, a whole closet full of thumb drives and flash drives that are full of guys that were fast that never made it in the league. This guy's got a real shot.
Feels like we were trying to remind everyone of that after we took him. Like, I get it. He ran a 4-2-1, but he just happened to run a 4-2-1. That's not who he is. That's not the only thing he can do. He is a complete football player who can do a lot of different things, and we saw it all in week one, which is very exciting. I'm going to put his performance into context, okay? So he was one of only two players in the Super Bowl era to score a 20-yard rushing touchdown and a 20-yard receiving touchdown in his NFL debut. Only other guy to do that was James Brim in 1987, who I think was a replacement player.
That's the strike.
Yes.
He's a scab.
His career was really interesting because I looked it up because I'd never heard of James Brim. He played like three games in his career. He made the most of them. He was really good, but he was a replacement player. So really, if we're talking about true everyday NFL players, Xavier's like the first.
I think he works at Hy-Vee now, doesn't he?
He might. Hey, he had a great day in 1987. Xavier was also one of only five wide receivers in the last 20 years to score a 30-yard receiving touchdown and a 20-yard rushing touchdown in a game. And that's regardless of rookie status or any of that. He joined DeSean Jackson, who did it twice, Tyreek Hill, and Odell Beckham Jr. What do DeSean Jackson, Tyreek Hill, and Xavier Worthy all have in common?
Well, they played for Andy Reid.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I brought it up with him during our interview, because he mentioned that to me in an interview that we had did with him at training camp. And the fact that he had that thought in his head, that he said, you know, I could be right. I saw what he did with DeSean Jackson and Tyreek Hill, and I thought, first of all, it's a very mature thing to say. But that stat just brings it up and points it out. So, all right, we're going to go in, finish up this podcast with the ceiling. What excites us about where this team can go in all three phases? And we'll start with the offense. But where you're most excited about the room to grow with the 24 Chiefs?
Well, I think we all saw it. There were some drops on Thursday that might have been big plays, and those are correctable things. It was players that don't often drop the football. So as good as the offense was on Thursday, there was a clear area where they can grow. I mean, there was a play in the red zone that could have been made, a couple plays in the red zone. There was a play in the flat could have been made later in the game. Just things that are, the scheme worked, everything was there, just got to finish the play. And that's week one. Those things are going to happen, and the Chiefs overcame those mistakes to still win the football game. That's the important thing. It's a lot easier to work on this stuff when you win the game. How can we be better even though we won? And that's kind of what I'm looking at here. So I think the offense, as good as they were, can be even better, just cleaning up a few things like the penalties and drops in some major situations.
To me, it's the way these rooms have come together. So many teams at football at any level have players that are replication. The running back room has come together. Think how much trepidation, or we talk about it at camp. You and I would talk about it either in venues like streaming like this or in just casual conversations. The running back room has come together. We know about Pacheco, but getting Samaje Perine is gigantic for this team. And we saw glimpses of it, and the near miss that he had on the touchdown is something that's going to happen later this year. And then with Carson Steele developing, he's going to be perfect complement. Those guys all fit in like a Lego block setup. Same thing with the tight end room. For Noah Gray to do what he did, I thought it was his best game. Blocking, but then also to get the inside screen where Kelce became a decoy. And they ran the inside tight end screen to Noah Gray. That's a big-time play. So complementary pieces there because Jared Wiley's going to do his thing here. There's some ceiling there. And then the wide receiver room, how they complement each other. People talk about how the vertical game was going to create room for Travis Kelce in the middle. You know who it created the most opportunity for?
Oh, yeah.
Rashee Rice. Because now if you're going to take Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and scream them down like a 100-meter dash in the Olympics, all of a sudden Rashee Rice, and we saw it against the Ravens, has all of this room. And how are they going to cover him? And he's a tackle breaker. So this could be gigantic for him. As much as it helps Kelce, it helps Rashee Rice more. And there's just such great ceiling for not only him but this whole offense.
So many times you see things in training camp and they don't necessarily translate to regular season games. That's just the nature of it. It's hard to have them translate to real games. But I remember a day in training camp early on when I looked at you and I said, is Rashee going to have like 1,500 yards this year? Because I don't know how a defense can stop all of this when it's working like it should. And that's not me just being a Chiefs guy saying that. It's I really believe it, where if you have Xavier running down the field with his 4.21 speed, like we saw against the Ravens, you have to respect it. You can't just be creeping up toward the line or covering just the underneath routes if Xavier can take the top off. And the beautiful thing about Thursday is Xavier isn't just fast. He showed that he could do it. He has two touchdowns already in his pro career, one of them being when he took the top off the defense on a busted coverage. So you have to respect that if you are the opposition. Well, now Rashee Rice can run underneath against a linebacker or against a safety, and he's going to eat all day. And that's what he did against the Ravens. And that was week one. He's only going to continue this as the season progresses. And if you want to creep up, you want to cover Rashee Rice, put a corner on him. Well, now Xavier Worthy is going deep, and there's no safety help. So it's kind of pick your poison when you're playing the Chiefs this year. And we can talk about potential and what it could be all we want. We did that during training camp, but you still have to do it. Well, the Chiefs did it and put it on tape. All of those things against the Ravens, against a very good defense in the Ravens. It's not like they're playing the number 32 defense in the NFL. So this is exciting. We got to keep it going, but it's only going to grow from here, in my opinion. And yeah, I think Rashee is just going to have a huge season moving forward. It's exciting.
Just a couple of minutes left in this. Let's I'll go with this one. It's individual players. Leo Chenal had his best game. He was outstanding in this game. Turk Wharton. And these are guys I talked about with Coach on the Chiefs Kingdom show on Monday night. Go back and find that archive. But the fact that Turk Wharton, who had an incredible offseason and a great training camp, is gone to another level. To have Felix Anudike Uzama have his best game. And not just recovering the fumble, doing different things. And then the safety room. I'm so excited about the ceiling of the safety room, all of these guys. When you look at what Jaden Hicks can do, when you look at the growth of Chamari Connor, Brian Cook, and Justin Reed, that group may end up being the best safety group in the NFL when it's all said and done this year.
And I was really proud of our DBs as a whole in that game. There was a lot of talk, obviously, all offseason, understandably so, about who's going to fill the role left by L'Jarius Sneed. And you can't quite replace L'Jarius. I mean, he's an all-pro player, one of the best players in the NFL. But the way that our DBs attacked Baltimore was really encouraging. I think Shamari Connor had a really nice game. He was all over the place, made some great open field tackles. Jalen Watson made a tremendous pass breakup deep down the field on an island. Just a great play. So we're going to see those guys continue to grow in this defense, but I'm really excited and encouraged with what they can do as well.
Finally, special teams, we wrap it up. Anything you got?
Nothing too much. I mean, again, I was happy with Ariza, happy with the kickoff stuff. I think I just circle back to what I said earlier. I'm curious, based on the opponent, if we try the kickoff where we're going to force them to return it, and is that going to lead to some big plays on our end? Can we force some fumbles, get some turnovers, get into the opposition's red zone because of that? That'll be interesting, but I think that's something that will grow over the course of the year. I'm just glad there was no huge busted plays. I mean, we saw in the Bills game where the Cardinals had the kickoff return for a touchdown. That's the kind of stuff I don't want to see from the other team against us. I'm glad we covered it well. Just kind of curious to see how that unit grows over the course of the year.
Yeah, part of the preparation. There were only six block punts all last year. There were two in the opening weekend. But those explosive plays, to me, the ceiling, are coming for this team. The Chiefs will get a block punt this year, maybe two, or I'll buy you lunch.
Okay.
Okay. And I think there's explosive return plays coming. I think I just see it coming. They're a whisker away, whether it's kickoff returns, if teams decided to put it in the landing zone, or on punt returns. When a team can put pressure on an opponent in all three phases, like potentially this Chiefs team can, look out. There's some real ceiling. So we've got some flooring in, but it's the ceiling that we're fired up about going into week two.